Well, thank you for your Christmas cards and your Christmas gifts. We pray that God will bless you. Merry Christmas this Christmas day. It's been a great year, and I trust that it'll continue to be so in your life. I'm sure it will be if Christ is the center of our lives and the center of our hearts. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read to you from the scriptures, then I'll share some things, and then you can go home and have your Christmas dinner, breakfast or lunch. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to eat, because that's what you spent all your money for in the last week. You hardly have anything to give to the Lord now, because you have spent it all on yourself. With all the ham, you're going to overeat today by the provision of the Lord. And so if you have some spares, give it to the Lord, okay? Sometimes we often do that. We give God our leftovers, and God gives us His best. God did not give us an angel. God did not give us one of the saints. God gave us God. God gave us His Son. God bankrupt heaven to save you, and He's going to have a prepared place for you when you die and go on home to be with the Lord. You're not going to Mangaweka when you die. So think about that. Where are you going after here? And a lot of people say, well, when I die, I die. Why do you live for tomorrow if you're going to die for nothing? Think about that. Why do you live like a man if you're going to die like a dog? If you're going to die like a dog, live like a dog. But if you're going to die like a man, live like a man. That's why we've got to hope for tomorrow. So you don't live for hope for tomorrow, and when you die, say, I'm going nowhere. You're not going to Samoa when you die. You're going to heaven. Or you're going to, all right, are you okay? That's why Christmas had to happen. Hallelujah. So let me read to you the Bible. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Jesus Christ. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer a servant. You are a son of God. And if you are a son of God, you are an heir of the things God has provided, an heir with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Are you all right? God works to a plan. There are no emergencies in heaven. Things just don't happen by accident. Things happen by purpose. Hallelujah. God is not limited by time, but you are. I don't care who you are, you're getting old. And as I said a few Sundays back, when you're young, try and help the elderly, the senior saints. You know why? Because you're going to be a senior saint one day soon. You may think you're unkillable, but you're heading to the grave. I don't care if you're strong. I don't care if you win MMA. You're still going to die. Are you okay? That's where we are. And the Bible says there is a time. So the time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to wake up and a time to go to sleep. And the Bible says in the fullness of time, something happened to the planet. In the fullness of time, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, was sent. Was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were cursed by the law. Because the law says, if you sin, you die. One little sin will kill you. So you can't save yourself. Somebody had to save you. You can't say to a prisoner next to you, hey, I'll save us. I'll give myself a... The only problem is you are sentenced the same way he is sentenced, and you can't redeem him and he can't redeem you because you're both guilty. And all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in the fullness of time, something happened. Christ was born so that you and I may live. And if you don't know that, you're stupid. Many people think that they can live without God. God gave you breath. God gives you breath every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And you're here by the mercy of God. You're not here because of your rights. You're here by the mercy of God. You're here by the grace of God. And we live every other day by the mercy of God. And His mercies are new every morning. And the inward person inside that never dies, hallelujah, is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. God controls time. Not John Key, not Obama. God controls the time. And God can speed up the time or slow down time. God can suspend time. God suspended time. That's scientific, not just biblical, but scientific. They've proven it's correct. When Joshua stopped the sun, God suspended the time. It just did not move for 23 minutes and for 23 hours and 40 minutes. Hello? God can speed up time. Today, time is very fast. Many years ago in your grandparents' day and when you were growing up, you have time to do everything between 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock at night, and then you go home to a nice meal and have time with the family. You had time on your life. Today, you don't have time to do nothing. You can't even finish your job today. You postpone it till tomorrow. Then you postpone it till the next day. Why? Because God is speeding up the... Hello? Many years ago, it takes you about 7 weeks to sail from England to New Zealand. Today, it takes you a few hours. Why? Because God controls time, and in the fullness of time, Christ was born. Hallelujah. Now, our timing and God's timing is very different. You may think, well, I've got... That's a crazy thing. You plan... You know, there's a guy in the Bible says he planned, he had everything. He had so much money that he didn't have place to put his stuff, so he pull down buildings and build buildings. That's what we're doing everywhere today. We pull down buildings, we build other buildings, and then we fill them with people and stuff. And this guy was so rich, he had nowhere to put his stuff. So he pulled down the old stuff and built new stuff. And when he built it, and said, oh soul, you can rest now and have a nice cup of coffee and a Christmas pie. And Jesus said, you fool. Your soul, the time for you is finished. And the problem with us is, and I'm glad we don't. The problem with us is we don't know when you're going to die. Huh? And I'm glad you don't. Because some people, hallelujah. Because you don't control your life. You think you are, but you may be able to, but God controls the time that you live. Are you all right? Is that okay? I can preach another message if you want me to. Hallelujah. So why do we need Christmas? Well, one thing is we need Christmas because some people, that's the only time they come to church. So we need Christmas so they can come to church. Hallelujah. I've got an older brother and when I was growing up, that's about the only time they go to church. Christmas time. So even if it's just for that, it's good. So that you're going to come to church. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Why do we need Christmas? Why did Jesus come? What is the purpose of Christmas? And why do we look to this Jesus? Why do we need Christmas? We need Christmas, otherwise we would be lost forever from the presence of God. I want you to know something. As we shared before, God will do this. This is how He does it. He has a plan, all right? He doesn't just do things willy-nilly. God creates an atmosphere first, then creates what lives in the atmosphere. He doesn't create the thing first. He creates an atmosphere first. Hallelujah. And Jesus came so that we will not be lost from the presence of God forever. So God created the sea first and created the fish after. and then put the fish in the sea. He created an environment, then he created the creature to put in the environment. If you read the story of creation, he created the soil first, and then he created the plant after, and then he put the plant in the soil. He created the cosmos first, and then he created the galaxy and put the galaxies in the cosmos, and then he created a place called Eden, which is the presence of God, and then created a man to put in the presence of God. And you are made to be in the presence of God, just like the fish is made to be in the sea. If you take the fish out of the sea, the fish will die. If you take the plant out of the soil, the plant will die. If you take man out of the presence of God, even though he lives, he's dead. And if you live outside the presence, I don't care if you climb poles, you're dead. If you live in the presence, the Bible says, even though you're dead, you live. Hello? That's what the preachers say when somebody dies, even though he dead, he lives. How is that? Because he dies in the presence. The only problem is the preacher lied, because the guy died when he's the dead is dead. So Christmas had to happen so we can be in the presence of God. Without Christmas, we'll be lost from the presence of God forever. And you are created to be in that atmosphere. Hallelujah. We need Christmas because man is alienated from God and will be doomed forever without a single thread of hope. You may have faith, but without hope, you're dead. There are people who believe in God, but when you have no hope, even though you believe in God, because our hope is not just a hope in something. The hope of glory is inside of us. His name is Jesus Christ. And Christmas had to happen. Otherwise, there's no thread of hope for you to live. Why would you live to have dinner today? Hallelujah. We need Christmas because we have no answer to our own problem. You can't answer your problem. You may be a teacher, you may be a doctor, you may be a businessman. You can't answer the problems of your own life, let alone the people that you work for. And Christmas had to happen because you've got no answers. I've got no answers. Christ is the answer, and Jesus had to come. Christmas had to happen because the answer had to come to answer your problem. You're not that clever. You're just stupid. And without him, we can't do it. The Bible says without him was not anything made that was made. So everything you see and everything you can't see was made by him and through him. Wasn't made by your dad. Are you all right? You say, well, that's a bit hard on Christmas. It's okay. We need Christmas because we have no answer to our own problem. And we need Christmas because we are sinners and we cannot provide a cure for sin. Everyone has sinned. You know, I look at Facebook sometimes. And say, oh, so-and-so, cancer. Cancer can't kill you. Sin will. You can die of cancer and go on home to heaven. Or you can die of sin without a redeemer, and you go to hell forever on roller skates. There is a disease in mankind, and it's so powerful that it has killed people since Adam, and yet we're worried about cancer? Give God a break. The problem is this. We haven't found the cure for cancer yet, unless the powers that be are hiding it away so they can make money on the drugs. But there is a cure for sin. His name is Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So we need Christmas. Otherwise, we'll be lost forever from the presence of God. We need Christmas because man is alienated from God without hope. Without Christmas, we have no answer to our own problem. Without Christmas, we're sinners that cannot provide a cure. And we are sentenced to die and be punished for what Not what God did, but what we do. And yet when something happens, said, God, don't blame God. Blame yourself. God loves you. God sent his son for you. He died for you. He rose again. Why do you think he came? He came for you. And if you don't receive that, don't blame God. I get so angry at people. Say, well, God. You say, well, God is love. Well, the world is in a mess. It is in a mess. You know why? Because God's not in control of the world. God gave that to man. And now that's not my message, but you know, he gave mankind dominion over the planet. That means he got it from him and gave it to man. Man messed it up. He's trying to fix it again. Don't blame God. It's your mess. But he's fixing it well, but you don't like his fixing. I was almost going to sing a song, but I realized it was in Psalm 1, so half of you will not know it. Why do we need Christmas? Why did Jesus come? Jesus came because he alone is the answer. There's no other answer. We have studied. We've got more PhDs on the face of the planet than anything else. We've got studies in political science, in children health, in children education, in every human behavior. We have got more experts that can't fix nothing. We need Jesus because he is the only one that can answer the human problem. Our studies and researchers don't answer it. We know that by experience. Not the politicians, not the academics. Hello? That's why there are more millionaires who never went to school and the PhDs count their money. Are you all right? Jesus came because he alone is the redeemer of mankind and no other. He's the redeemer. You and I need redeeming. And the only redeemer is Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Not Buddha, not Islam, not Muhammad. Jesus. Muhammad died, he's still dead. Baha'u'llah died, he's still dead. Confucius died, he's still dead. Jesus died, he's not dead. He's the only Redeemer. The only God that ever conquered death is the God of the Bible. No other. We need a Redeemer. And Jesus provides redemption for us. Jesus came because we cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. Jesus came because we have all fallen short of the glory of God and needed someone to bring us back to the glory of God where we live. Jesus came because sinners need to be saved. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Sinners need to be saved, and that's why Jesus came. That's why Christmas had to happen. Jesus came to destroy the work of the wicked ones. The wicked one, Jesus came to show us the Father. A lot of people say, well, God is an angry God. How do you know? The total reflection, the complete reflection of God's heart is his Son. When Jesus turned the water into wine, that was God's heart. When Jesus walked on the waters, that was God. When Jesus fed the 5,000, when Jesus healed, that's a reflection of the Father heart of God. Some people say, God is a bloodthirsty God. No, he's not. God loves you. And God cares for you. That's why you have the arrogance to say the same thing and still live. If God was a Samoan, he'll be dead. If God was a Maori, he'll be dead. If God was a Korean, he'll be dead. But God is God, and God's a Jew. Just thought I'd throw that in. Jesus came for 10,000 other reasons. 10,000 and for evermore. What is the purpose of Christmas? The purpose of Christmas is to reconcile us back to God. The purpose of Christmas is to show forth the love of God for a lost humanity. The purpose of Christmas is to bring the love of God to bear on us because we needed loving. Have you ever wondered, you know, people can fight forever in a workplace. I mean, from January to November, and then December said, "Hi, brother." How come? There's something inside of us that reflects the kind nature of God, but it doesn't have to just happen at Christmas. You can have Christmas from January to December. Some people just forgive their enemies at Christmas and buy them a gift. But it's amazing what Christmas atmosphere can do. You know, a couple can fight forever, and at Christmas time, "Oh, honey, Merry Christmas." Hello? Are you all right? You know, the wife is cooking and he's trying to do something, and then you fight over the cooking at this Christmas time. Give God a break. All right? Merry Christmas. All right. Hallelujah. The purpose of Christmas is to make us realize there's no other answer, no other way, no other redeemer but Jesus, and He is more than enough. Are you all right? Why do we look to Jesus? We look to Jesus because He understands our frailties. You know, a lot of people, "Where is God?" At a train wreck, and this father came running and found his son died in a train wreck. Everybody was milling around, rescuing people and tendering to the injured. And this man came over and his son had died. And he cried out, "Where is God when my son died?" And he grabbed everybody. He grabbed the ambulance people, the fire people. And then he grabbed this man. He did not know that he was a vicar, an elderly man. And he grabbed him and almost killed the old fella. "Where was God when my son died?" The old man said, "Probably at the same place where he was when his own son died." You see, you think God don't understand your dilemma. God understands our frailty. God knows we are but dust. God knows that we are human. God knows we don't have the answer. Hallelujah. And the purpose of Christmas is to bring us back to where our hearts can find a home, where you are going to be satisfied. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. The purpose of Christmas is to show forth the love of God for a lost humanity. Why would God die for us? The King of Kings, God born in a stable, crucified by His own creatures and His own creation. Why would He allow Himself to do that? So that His lost children, lost humanity, lost creation can come back to know Him. Are you all right? The purpose of Christmas is to make us realize that there is no other answer, no other way, no other redeemer but Jesus, and that is more than enough. So why do we look to this man? Because Jesus is totally man. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God, and there are not two mediators. It's not St. Anthony or St. Oswald or St. Thomas or Mother Teresa. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is totally man. He's also totally God. Now, if Jesus had failed as a man, He would have gone back to heaven still as God, but we would be doomed forever. But He didn't fail. Hallelujah. We look to Jesus because He understands our frailties. He understands our infirmity. And the Bible says we haven't got a high priest that is divorced from our pain. We've got a high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. When you hurt, He understands that. He knows that. We look to Jesus because He's the author and finisher of our faith. He authors our faith and He completes our faith. We look to Jesus because we need His help, and His help is the only way, the only thing that will suffice. Are you okay? Now, the psalmist David said many years back, I lift my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. And then he said, my help doesn't actually come from the hill. My help comes from the Lord. And a lot of people say, is that help? Is the Lord's help sufficient? And so David described the power of the helper. He said, the helper made the heavens and the earth. If the helper made everything, I think his power is more than enough to help us. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. The Lord made the heavens and the earth. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. We shared that last night when Pastor Andrew was reading. Jesus is the light, and he gives light to every man and woman who comes into the world. The psalmist again declares, in his light, we see light. In his light, we see light. You can only see light in the light of Jesus Christ. The only pure light that comes to men that suffices to lighten our darkness is the light of Jesus. That light is not pure. That light is not pure. When you flash a camera, all those light will be dark. Why? Because there is a purer light than that light and that light. When Jesus Christ, the light of the world, comes into your life, it will light up every dark corner of your life. Hallelujah. Albert Einstein discovered the law of gravity. He did not make the law. He only discovered it. Jesus made the law. People are discovering stuff, but they never made stuff. It's Jesus that made the stuff. Hallelujah. And Einstein said this, and scientists still confirm it to this day, that everything in the universe is changing, everything except for light. Therefore, everything is relative to light. Here is the essence of the law of relativity. When two cars pass, and they're both doing 50 kilometers an hour, they pass at 100 kilometers an hour. Well, that's simple. If they pass, they're both doing 105 like Christine would do. They'll pass at 210. Are you okay? However, if you straddle a light beam and you travel that way, and your wife straddles another light beam and travel that way, and you're traveling at 187,000 miles per second. Second, not miles, 180, that's fast. When you cross, the speed does not double. When you cross, it's no longer the speed that is important. What is important is when you cross, it's not the light, not the speed of light, but time. Time no longer is valid. You know why? Because time is for us, not for God. God lives in timelessness. There is no beginning, no end in a place called eternity. Jesus Christ has no beginning and no end. That's why the Bible says, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. The son was always there. The son was not born. The child was born, but the son was given. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Time would stop. It doesn't double the speed. Time will just stop. When you cross, time stops. And the only thing you can see right now is everything that is under the speed of light. Beyond the speed of light, it'll scare you spitless because you'll see angels and demons. Now, if I stand here and I vibrate at the speed of light, if I vibrate just a fraction of an inch, you wouldn't see me. You just see right through me. There are angels in this room. You can't see them. You know why? The Bible says they are spirits of light. Is this all right? The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus, according to the psalmist, make? He said He made the heavens and the earth. Jesus made the spiritual world of angels and unseen beings. He made the celestial world of the sun, moon, stars, planets, solar systems, and galaxies. He made that. It wasn't made in Wellington. He made the terrestrial world of earth, mankind, and animals. He made the botanical world of plants, trees, flowers, herbs, and shrubs. He made the biological world of germs, amoebas, paramecia, and all microscopic matters. Jesus, without Him, was not anything made that was made. He made the chemical world of atoms, neutrons, protons, and electrons, and other tongues. Jesus made all reality. The baby in Bethlehem was also the God of Genesis. Jesus is the power of creation. That's why you sit on the chair you sit on right now. Because everything is held together by the word of His power. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Look to Jesus, the helper that created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Jesus was born contrary to the laws of nature. He lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity, and only once crossed the boundary of the land in which He was born, and that was in His childhood. Can you imagine? You're born in Whanganui and only once crossed the boundaries of Whanganui, and 2,000 years from the day you die and rose again, people are still talking about you, and you only live in Whanganui. Hello? Are you all right? In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the learned doctors. And in manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked on the billows and hushed the sea to sleep. That is the Jesus we look to. When Jesus was born, He was the same age as His father, yet He was older than His mother. As a prophet, Jesus is the one through whom God has spoken His final word to mankind. As priest, Jesus is the one who accomplished the perfect work of redemption on Calvary. As king, Jesus has been exalted to the right place on the throne of God. He is the Lord of all creation. He is the architect of the church and Lord of all. That's my Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the author and finisher of our faith, the initiator and the completer of all that we are. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the world cannot contain the books written about Him. He never wrote a song, yet He furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters put together. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast as many students as He. He never practiced medicine, yet He had healed more broken hearts and bodies than all the doctors in the world and in history combined. Jesus is the star of astronomy, the rock of geology, the lion and the lamb of zoology, the harmonizer of all discords, and the healer of all diseases. That's the Jesus we look to. Throughout history, great men have come and gone, yet Jesus lives on. Hallelujah. It's crazy. But He's God. Herod couldn't kill Him. Satan couldn't seduce Him. Death could not destroy Him, and the grave could not hold Him. He annihilated sin with the power of His blood. He wrought victory over the grave and robbed the cemeteries of its contents, and in the end killed death, defeating death at His own game. That is the Jesus we look to. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is the message of the church, Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. It's the mission of the church. The church is to make him known. We look to Jesus because he's the head of the church. We look to Jesus because he owns the church. Are you okay? Jesus is not just the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to everything. Hallelujah. He is the way to the truth. He is the way to the life. He is the way to salvation, to freedom, to forgiveness, to peace, to deliverance, to hope, to loving relationship, to resourcing, to renewing, to reaching people. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to building the church. He is the truth that builds the church. And he is the life that activates and sustains the church. He is the way that melts the heart in heart. He is the truth that sets that heart free. And he is the life that makes that heart live. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Christmas is about people. Christmas is about God loving people. Christmas is about us loving others. Christmas is about becoming God, becoming like us. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God for us, but God with us. God became like me. God felt like I felt. God feels like I feel. Emmanuel, God, with us. Hallelujah. He feels my pain, understands my frailty, identifies with my fallen state, loves me all the same. Let us love one another as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Merry Christmas.